honesty and hypocrisy are diametrically opposed one to the other. Honest thoughts lead to the potential of peace. This is a mental condition of gigantic proportion, because the opposite to honesty is dishonesty, deceit, and lying can damage your mental health. So we've been studying the curriculum in the Bible that creates mental health. And we've already studied it, so quickly review. And I want you to see this word, finally, brethren. After all the summary, there's a conclusion to the matter. And the conclusion is that you should think a certain way about certain subjects. And those subjects should dominate our thinking. So there are eight of them in number. We've learned these. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Next one's whatsoever things are just, and then whatsoever things are pure, and then whatsoever things are lovely. Have you had some lovely thoughts today? Have you had lovely thoughts about others? Have you had lovely thoughts about yourself, your life? Have you had lovely thoughts about the Lord? You know, He is called many names in Scripture. And one of them from the book of the Song of Solomon refers to Him as the, are you ready? The altogether lovely one. There's nothing unlovely about Jesus. Yeah? Whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, and whatsoever that which has virtue and that which has any praiseworthiness in it, these are the things we should think about. And how does that produce mental health? Because at the conclusion of this, it says, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind. It's going to keep you mentally healthy through Christ if you think on these things. And we're going to cover more details about peace in coming up session. And not only does it say that the peace of God, and I love this phrase about being past understanding. Like, nobody can figure this out. And it keeps your hearts and minds. And then it says, but the God of peace shall be with you. So you get the peace of God and you get the God of peace. And boy, you got those two things. You got it all. You've got mental health on steroids. I mean, it's really going the right way. So we covered last time we were together how the truth, thinking about truth, creates mental health. And tonight, it's about how does thinking honest thoughts create mental health? Whatsoever things are true, we already covered it. Tonight's whatsoever things are honest. Think on these things. How does honesty affect mental health? So here we go. At the premise up the front end here, because when you search Scripture, by the way, the Scripture has got great vocabulary to it. Diverse vocabulary. And a lot of subject matters, a lot of words are used other places only by synonym and not with the exact term. And so in the Scriptures, we find that there are at least five words that give us understanding to this word honesty. Okay? And I think I've already put them in your notes. But these are Bible, these first three, rather. Honesty, integrity, and uprightness are key words that all mean the same thing. We'll see that in a moment. And then if you want to understand honesty, you have to understand the opposite to honesty, the dishonesty part, which is lying and deceit. And so as you search Scriptures, you can find out about this subject by doing this kind of a word search. So honest simply means, by dictionary definition, free of deceit. Whoa. Free of untruthfulness. It means to be genuine and sincere. The word integrity, used a lot in Scripture, by the way, is the quality of being honest. I say this almost like a synonym. Having strong moral principles and having moral uprightness. And then the word upright means strictly honorable or honest, principled and law abiding. So all of these words play in, these three words play into the idea of what is honest. Now the opposite to honesty is these two words, lying and deceitfulness. And lying means, as you know, to fabricate, to perjure, to deceive, to bear false witness. One of the big ten. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's one of the big ten. Right? To perjure means to lie under oath. The word is actually used in Scripture. And then deceive means to cheat, to defraud, to delude, to double cross, to swindle. And so with this background now, we want to pursue what are some of the ways that honesty affects mental health. So here we go. Number one. It saves from hypocrisy. Honesty and hypocrisy are diametrically opposed one to the other. And what is hypocrisy except being pretentious, being fake, huh? Being synthetic, being artificial? I want to suggest to you that it is really mentally damaging when a person knows himself to be a fake. To be a hypocrite. To know that a person is a hypocrite has a whole lot of mental complications that set in. The ability to have self-respect is lost. Another complication is that when we are insincere and fake and hypocritical, we think everybody else is too. We can't trust anybody. So comes the scripture and says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now watch this. These Pharisees were big church attenders. They were in the temple. They didn't just show up for a meeting and go away. They were hanging out in the temple. They were involved in conversations, and they were really into the religious deal of Judaism of the day. But Jesus says they're fake, hypocrites. Now, when it says the leaven of the Pharisees, leaven, remember? Scripture says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, you ladies who cook know more about this than moi, but I'll give it my best shot. I think it's something that makes the bread rise. Is that right? It makes it go up. And if you get a little bit of it, it has a big result. And Jesus is saying, watch out, because it might seem like a little bit of hypocrisy, but it's leaven. And a little bit of hypocrisy creates a whole lot of hypocrisy. So people think they got just get away with this, but not, you know, I'm not this, but I do. It's like the cherry pie with a little poison. You wouldn't bother with it, would you? You wouldn't eat it because just a little poison poisons the whole piece. So life gets damaged by hypocrisy. Mental health gets damaged. Self-respect, the ability to believe, is impaired because of this fakeness. So watch where the scripture goes with this now. Beware the leaven of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered covered up, they shall not be revealed. In other words, the truth is going to come out someday. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and there's nothing hid that shall not be known. We think we can keep these things secret. Can I suggest to you that the most foolish thing in the world for a person is to fool themselves? That's why we must know the truth and speak the truth to one another in love. Now watch this. Whatever you said in the dark that you thought nobody was watching, whatever you whispered, it's going to be heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, I don't want to just desert the subject quite yet. So let's go on and note how this is affirmed in Scripture. Behold, you sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. We don't get away with it. The wages of sin have never changed. They are as destructive as ever. Our danger is that we think of sin, we think of horrible things like stealing and murder and fornication and all that stuff. But there are grievous sins that have to do with sedition and thought processes. And sure, your sin will find you out. In fact, in Proverbs, I think it's 28:13, says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes it shall find mercy. Isn't that delightful? Now, this is an important grasp here. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And in some men, their sins follow after judgment. Now, I decided some time ago that it would be better for my sins to get found out here than to be hidden here and me be accountable for them there. It is a great mercy to have your sins discovered, to have before judgment. Some men's sins are open ahead of time. It's what gives us the chance to do something about it. But once we get to judgment day, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And watch this. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I'd rather get stuff straightened out here before I end up there. The problem is, not many people believe in judgment day someday. They've kind of put that aside and live as if they're never going to be accountable for what we do. That's why there's no fear of God before their eyes. So, when we think honest thoughts, and I have to tell you that my struggle has primarily been to be honest with myself. Obviously, we're supposed to be honest with one another. We'll come to that in a minute. And we're honest before God, sure. But am I honest towards myself? Because I found in myself a propensity to judge myself by my intentions and everybody else by their actions. And because, and I had a different standard for me. Thinking serious, honest, sincere, authentically enables us to not be hypocritical and fake, but it motivates us to deal with the realities, and some of those realities have eternal consequences to them. Now, I used to have somebody work for me whose name was Mark, and this was his favorite verse. And he would always go around saying, "I'm Mark, the perfect man," and give him the scripture reference, you know. Like, "Mark, the perfect man, behold the upright." Remember, this is a word for honesty, integrity, uprightness. "Because the end of the man that has honesty and uprightness, the end of that man is peace." So while being thinking of yourself and knowing that yourself is hypocritical, that you're a hypocrite or that you are fake, is destructive to the mental processes and warps and twists your view of yourself and everyone else. In contrast with that, honest thoughts lead to the potential of peace. This is a mental condition of gigantic proportion. Peace is not a little subject. It's a big deal. In fact, that's what we're going to cover, I think, the next time we get together, the time after that. Peace. The inward tranquility of soul that comes from authentic and genuine relationship with God and with others. Sure. And so the health, mental health of that cannot be underestimated. Because without peace, you would have perplexity. Well, that's not mentally healthy. Without peace, you're troubled. That's not mentally healthy. Without peace, we have anger. That's not mentally healthy. So, getting honest contributes towards that condition. Now, when a person is honest with God, honest with himself, and honest with others, they will actually possess accurate guidance for their lives. They will know what to do because it's based on a factuality, a truth. It's based on an honest evaluation. People who are trying to decide what to do with their life but haven't been honest are going to be off the track. So comes a scripture to affirm this and says the integrity of the upright shall guide them. This honest thinking provides accurate direction and guidance in all matters. So, for example, I might ask myself, am I angry with this a person? And if I'm honest and realize I have, then I'm going to do something positive about it. But if I'm in denial, I'm also going to be distorted in my responses. You see that? So it is really mentally healthy. Now, in contrast to this, the integrity shall guide them, but perverseness of transgressors, that is, those without integrity, it's going to cause their destruction. So many people never seem to be able to get a hold or stay on the paths of life. And I think it's fundamentally because of deception, dishonesty, that has been either foisted upon them or has not been adjudicated by them. And so actions and decisions are processed out of that faulty, dishonest system. Good people are guided by, this is a New Living Translation, good people are guided by their honesty. Treacherous people are destroyed by their dishonesty. Same verse, just a translation of it. Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. When things are tough, when the road looks crooked, when it's dim, you can't see where to go, you want to make decisions based on an honest evaluation of all the facts. So the Lord comes along and says that if you're upright and you're going through tough times, whatever they are, whatever darkness it is, and by the way, we all experience some darkness, don't we? Have you? Let me give you a wonderful scripture. It's in Psalm 139, and it says about God, the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. God sees in the dark just as clearly as he does in the light. The night shineth, it goes on to say, the night shineth like the noonday. And I long ago decided, I'd rather be with God in the darkness than to be in the light without him. Let me say that again. I'd rather go hard through hard times with God than to go through easy times without God. I don't know why it is. I don't know. Some of us, maybe even most of us, never look up until we're on our backs. We don't look heavenward unless there's something desperate going on and we don't know where else to look. So you can find this. Let me give you a little Bible study in your notes. Ready? Just jot these down. I'll give you five verses of scripture. Psalm 119. And I want you to read these five verses, one after the other, in sequence. Verse 50, 67, 71, 75, and 92. 50, 67, 71, 75, and 92. Good Bible study for you tomorrow. Read those five verses. They will give you five concepts that will change your attitude towards tough times. Now, this is really great. You know, God likes honest people. Do you know he despises dishonesty, deception? They that are forward in heart, dishonest, are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright, honest, right, in their way, they are his delight. Whoa, this is a core character issue and a core quality for a mental curriculum that brings the smile of God to you. Wow. And you know how nice it is? Do you know how mentally healthy it is to know that God's accepted and approved you? True. And when we're honest, we're in a relationship with God where it can go almost, there's no limit to where it can go. God's smile. Now, this is an interesting insight, I think. You know the parable of the sower and the seed. Remember the story? Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And some seed fell on the wayside, and some on the thorns, and some on the rocks, and some on the good ground. Four kinds of soil. Not that any one of these is necessarily a permanent condition. Wayside soil is the pathway around the garden that people walk on, the wayside. It's trampled. Nothing will grow there because it's trampled on. Thorny ground, you know what that is? Weeds everywhere. And stony ground doesn't grow very good in stony ground. But those three conditions are not necessarily permanent because people, and I've heard evangelists do this, they say, well, there's four kinds of soil. Which one are you? And people sit there and think, well, I only got a 25% chance of making this one. Well, let me tell you a little secret about this parable. There's nothing wrong with wayside soil. If you plow it, dig it up, it will produce growth just like anywhere else. Properly cultivated, wayside becomes good soil. And thorny ground can become good ground too, because all you got to do is what? Pull the weeds. And it becomes what? Good ground. And what about the stony ground? Well, all you got to do is move the stones. Back where I, in ancient times, used to live, country to the north, which this temperature reminds me horribly of. you can drive out in the country and see farmers' fields that are surrounded with stones all the way around the edge. They look like fences, but they're not put together very structurally nice. They're just stones all around. What was it? They pull what's called a stone picker behind a tractor or behind a horse. They scoop the stone, they carry it off to the side of the field. That's how all the stones got on the outside of the field. And now you got good ground with great crops growing right there where it was once stony. These soils are not permanent. So, if you're wayside, just, dig up the fallow ground, and it's time to seek the Lord. And you're going to become good ground. When I looked at this parable and heard the preacher on it, I thought, oh my God, I got stones, thorns, and I've been trampled on. I got them all. And then I realized this wonderful truth. That the ability of the seed is only impaired by the condition of the soil. So here we go. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside, that's the trampled on around the edge of the garden, are they that hear. But the seed doesn't take root because the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. It's like because the trampled on is hard, the seed sits on the surface and the birds come and they take it. Then the rocks are they which, when they hear, they receive the word of God with joy, but they have no root. Why? Because the rocks won't let the roots go down. So these people who are like stony soil, they believe for a while, but then in time of temptation, they fall away because they didn't get rooted. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth. And they are choked. The weeds didn't get pulled. So when it started to grow, it got choked by the weeds. And what got choked? What are these weeds? Cares of the world. Watch out. For the cares of the world. And our culture is pushing them at us all the time. and money. When someone makes decisions on the basis of money, they're making a wrong decision. Make decisions about money on the basis of principle. And the third thing are the pleasures of this life. So they come and they hear the word of God and they go, now the service is over. And now the pleasures of the world, the cares, the riches, all that stuff takes over, and the word didn't do to them what it should. So, pull the weeds. Now watch this, because this is the insight I was after. Well, the good ground are they which in an honest heart and a good heart, honest, they hear the word and they keep it. And it brings forth fruit. It takes a little while. Patience. It's because, I love the oak trees sitting out there. They don't grow like a pumpkin. A pumpkin you can grow in 24 days or so. That tree. Been there a long time. Takes patience. But the good ground has to do with being honest. Better is the poor man that walks in his honesty, his integrity, than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Who is a fool? Somebody who does not have integrity and honesty. Now, this is kind of a neat application, I think, of Scripture, that, and it affects our mental health. Because let me tell you a couple things that damage mental health. The received accusations of others can damage your mental health. Now, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe to whom through whom they come, that were better that a millstone should be hung about his neck and he should be cast into the sea than he should go around offending everybody. I want you not to miss this. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. People are going to offend you. Now, a mentally healthy person can deal with that. If a person does not deal with offenses, they have damage to their mental condition. That's why the scripture says, great peace have they that love thy laws. Nothing, how much? Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. So, how easy is it for you to become offended? That's a good question. Good question for moi. Now, accusations are going to come. But when you're an honest to God person and an honest to people person, and an honest with yourself person, something happens to those incoming accusations. Watch what it does. So having your conversation, now this is not we're talking about your conversation as in talking, it's talking about the converse, like a concourse, a converse, your way of life. Having your way of life honest among the Gentiles. So watch this now, because when they speak evil against you and say you're a bad person or something's wrong with you or you're evil, watch what happens. If we're honest, they will see your honesty and your good works and they will behold them, and they will get converted from being an accuser to being a glorifier of God. Authenticity. You can't have it without honesty. Pure. No mixture. So, now I want to get this application to mental health though. So, incoming accusations of you being evil, first of all, if they're true, you ought to do something about it and get them fixed. Right? If your accuser is telling the truth, and you know, then what you should do is get to Jesus as fast as you can, get forgiveness, cleansing, and get rid of it all, right? But when the incoming accusations of evil affect your mind, it damages your mental health. And watch this. But if this scripture happens, then the incoming doesn't work because it doesn't reach your cognitive soul because you know of your own integrity. You know, I have to tell you that I'm being very tempted earlier today and yesterday for us to spend considerable time in the book of Job. It's one of the most philosophical books in the Bible. And there's so much life application in there. And let me tell you what came down. His wife said, "Will you maintain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" His friends, they call them Job's comforters, were always after him about his integrity. The one thing he said he was going to maintain was his integrity. Because when you have this internal understanding of yourself, that you are honest and have integrity and uprightness, then all of the incoming bounces off you because this thing is like a shield around you and cannot penetrate your soul, cannot damage your thinking, can't upset your emotions, and can't ruin your day. Because you know you are honest and thinking honestly. Provide things, honest things. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but in the sight of men. That's a big time too. How many points have I got? 9? Oh, we might get there. Okay. Here's a big one. When a man walks in integrity, it is centered out by Scripture to affect your children. Whoa. Now, if anybody knows you're a liar, it's your kids. If anybody knows you're a hypocrite, it's your kids. Don't you wish sometimes that God had a different family structure where the kids were kind of like in a different building for a while and they didn't have to see you 24/7? One day we should talk about the genius of the family concept designed by God. I mean, it's like family is like the crucible of life. It's like the classroom of life. That's where the big learning takes place. So comes now the scripture and says that if a man walks in honesty and in integrity, well, this is just so good. His children, they've got a chance. I don't want to, nor probably could I, recount to you the number of children I have talked to. And their declaration about their father more often the father than the mother. It's a really bad report. I have to tell you, I think I told you a bit on the last Sunday, my father. Man, that guy was so honest. It hurt. It seemed like to me that he was over my dad was dotted his I's, crossed his T's. And likewise my mother. And that's why, even though I was rebellious up until the age of 18, I could never escape my mother's prayers or my father's life. My dad was the real deal. Not the rest of the church, unfortunately. I knew so much because my dad was a pastor, and I knew, I can't take you down that road, nor should you endure that. But there's something about, you know, real parents care about their children. They tend to worry about them. It's like a big, it's like, especially mamas and daddies should be equally as concerned about their children. How do we know that? Because the scripture comes along and says, ye fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a commission to the father. He doesn't get to just dump it on the mother and leave. So some of you might here be worried about your children and you wish it was different. I want you to have some consolation, because you've walked the walk. And that gives your kids a chance that most kids don't have. And it could be true that you might not have always been authentic. And they knew you back there, but when you came to the Lord, or when you changed things, and when you got into this Jesus-managed life, Bible-controlled thinking, love-controlled behavior, right? They could see from darkness to light, from before to present. And I tell you on the authority of Scripture that if we live this way, your children will have a light shining. They still are going to have choices they're going to have to make. But let me tell you something. They got something going for them that no devil can take away and no demon can quench. No accusation, false accusation, will take root in them. Because they know that you were an honest, thinking person and you held integrity and uprightness supreme in your life, and it affects your children. Now, this is a generalization. I know that. But when I say your real life is not damaged, I'm talking about your mental and emotional being, your whole soul, is not damaged. Because the sword is upon the liars. They're in deep trouble. But not you. I want to close with just one more. Your eternity will be affected. Now, what has that got to do with mental health if it's just about eternity? I'll tell you what it has to do with. When you live your life now in the light of eternity, when you know that the end of the end chapter of the book is this, do you know how, and it's a nice story ending, do you know how mentally healthy that is for you every day of your life? Jesus coming becomes an absolute delight to you. Wow. And he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'm telling you what, when you know the end of the story, when you know how your eternity is going to turn out, the mental health and the peace of mind that you have now is without price. However, those who do not hold honesty and integrity in the right place in their thinking have got big trouble coming. Because the opposite to honesty is dishonesty, deceit, and lying. Now, watch the category here. The categorization, I should say. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. This is not a very good group to be in. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, in the lake which burneth with the fire, with fire and brimstone. Oh. Does anybody understand the price tag attached to being a liar? The price tag in this life is one thing, and it's not nice either. But the price tag of dishonest, lying, deceit, the end of the story, is not very nice. All this group, which include liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So, my friends, let's keep this as part of our curriculum. Let's think this way. Let's act this way. Let's behave this way. And let's keep all the dishonest things out, the lying out. Give it no place. And your eternity will be assured through Christ our Lord. Amen.